Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us on the line, Congressman Brian Higgins, to talk about something that we've been really mentioning throughout the past few days, and that is the upcoming mandate for vaccination for TSA workers, and especially the deadline that was put in place. Congressman, thanks for being with us. This TSA vaccination mandate... What I've been trying to kind of do over the last week or so is to separate the emotion of a vaccination mandate and feelings on whether or not that's a positive or a negative thing and, you know, what people think about it, and instead point to the date to, possibly say, see you later, to up to 40% of TSA workers on the Monday before Thanksgiving. I guess the first question is, who came up with that date and that idea?
That's a date that was established by the TSA administration in consultation with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention officials.
Almost sounds like they're setting up for this to fail, to have a transportation crisis right at the start of the holidays.
Yeah.
Deliberately.
I think it's more to say that, there is approximately 1 month to get fully vaccinated. And I think 80% of TSA staff at the Buffalo airport are currently fully vaccinated. 84% of TSA staff at the Niagara Falls airport are fully vaccinated. 5% qualify for a religious or medical exemption. So I think there's about 15% that are unvaccinated. And there's plenty of time to encourage those TSA officials to get vaccinated.
Well, why set that date right before Thanksgiving? Is it the idea that you're applying pressure? I mean, we saw in the healthcare field here in New York State that it was only 3% of healthcare workers across the state were unvaccinated by the time that deadline happened and had to be off the job. And even that was enough to trigger a state of emergency by Governor Hochul. Now we're talking about, even if it is as low as 15% or a number around there, when we're talking about as many travelers as we've seen in 2 years or so, we're talking about maybe pre-pandemic levels of air travel this holiday season. Why that date? It's just it leads people to believe that it's done on purpose to create a bad situation, when if you really believed in the mandate, you could have done it a month ago.
Well, you can certainly look at it that way, but I think, more accurately, it's intended to keep people safe at what is traditionally a very busy time of travel, particularly as it relates to airports. So we, want to ensure that TSA officials are fully vaccinated to protect themselves, but to also protect the travelers that they will come in contact with at the Buffalo and Niagara Falls airport and airports throughout the country.
Well, there's no vaccination mandate to travel, and everyone has to be wearing a mask if you're inside of an airport. That rule has been extended now until January, and we haven't really seen an issue yet, right? I mean, people have been traveling, going through airports over the last year and a half, and increasingly over the last 6 months or so, that's gone up. And we haven't heard of major problems because, you know, there wasn't a vaccination mandate in place with TSA or this or that employee.
Well, you know, at the Buffalo Niagara International Airport, you are required to wear a mask. And most adults in New York State, including TSA officials, the vaccination rate for TSA official, or TSA workers and the general population is approximately the same. So it's the combination of a high percentage of people being vaccinated and a mask mandate that is, I think, helping keep this pandemic at a manageable rate.
We already have a labor shortage throughout the country. Don't these mandates only potentially worsen those situations?
Well, I think it gets worse if you know, COVID reemerges to what we dealt with over the past 19 months. The thing that has changed here is the availability of vaccines, and these vaccines are highly effective. 85, 90, 95% even against the Delta variant. So, you know, it's intended to keep people safe, keep their families safe. And unless and until we eradicate COVID-19, this is the reality that we live in.
Yeah, but isn't there, you know, when this decision is being made in the room or anybody in Washington looking at this and saying, okay, you know, I would understand the reasoning for doing this, but we have been doing just fine without the mandate to this place. We still want to put a mandate in, but can we do it at a time when it's not going to cause severe disruption throughout the entire country?
Well, I think it's intended. I think the intent is to keep an outbreak of COVID from occurring. I can certainly understand what you're saying, but I think, you know, the intent is to keep COVID from spreading further. I am not going to defend the federal bureaucracy. We have gone up against it for the past 19 months on a number of issues, and we have talked about that many, many times. The message coming out of the White House and the message coming out of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are often in conflict, and I have been very vocal about my criticism of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They need to provide guidance that is clear, that is concise, and that is consistent. They have not done that. And we have dealt with this border issue for too long. It's still not right. There is still conflicting information. And, you know, this has been a big problem, and it continues to be. But I would argue at least the intent is to, at a very, very, traditionally, a very busy time of travel and a lot of interaction in a time when we still have a highly contagious and infectious disease that could lead to serious illness, hospitalization, and in many cases, death, that, you know, vaccines are the best tool that we have against that. And additionally, mask wearing is additionally helpful as it relates to the spread of this, as I said, highly infectious, contagious disease.
Congressman Brian Higgins is with us live this morning, and we've been talking about the TSA vaccine mandate, but want to shift gears and talk a little bit about the Bill Stadium right now. Congressman, Buffalo lawmakers yesterday approved a resolution unanimously for a downtown location to be considered for a new Bill Stadium. Now, you don't have a seat at the table here, but do you think that the city of Buffalo, especially downtown, should be considered?
Well, you got two issues. One is cost of a stadium, which is, you know, pretty significant, as you know. And where does a new stadium go? And the Common Council, you know, representing various areas of the city of Buffalo, has every right. And their, you know, preference that a downtown stadium be considered should be taken seriously. They are lawmakers that are duly elected, and everything should be on the table at this point. You're not dealing, you know, fortunately, with the deadline that is immediately in front of them. There is plenty of time to consider cost, to consider design, and to consider location. And the council is exerting its influence in this process, as it should. And, you know, their constituents, taxpayers are expected, presumably, to, you know, foot some of the bill for this stadium. So the Common Council has every right to ask that those who are at the table, and they should be at the table, or at least a representative should be at the table, because this is a public-private partnership. And a lot of folks have talked about a downtown stadium for many years, various locations, and considering a downtown location is perfectly reasonable.
The bill's ringing that alarm bell on urgency, maybe a little bit more than some of the other sides who are negotiating this. You know, I find it strange when I look at the totality of the situation, everything that's been made public by the Bills or the governor, and what happened yesterday in the city council, that it almost seems like, you know, the debate at the start is, oh, should we give public money to a private entity to build a football stadium? Looking at all the info, it almost seems like the Bills are the side preaching financial responsibility and, you know, hey, we don't want to spend too much money, or at least public money, on this project. And that's why they've been saying Orchard Park publicly is because it's far less money. Meanwhile, we hear from the governor who said that, yes, downtown Buffalo would be one of the options that we're looking at on the table. And then Rasheed Wyatt in the council yesterday saying that it might increase the cost, but referenced the infrastructure bill that's on the table in Congress right now is, hey, we can use some of this money and bump up the price tag. Is it surprising to you that it seems like people in government are the ones wanting to bump the price tag up and not the team?
Well, I think there's like anything, there's a cost-benefit analysis, and that has to occur. So if you take a downtown location, you look at Orchard Park, the current location, and or adjacent land that may be available, and you can do a cost-benefit analysis within a reasonable period of time where you're not delaying the project, you're not increasing the project's costs, and there are, you know, the immediate costs of a stadium location and ancillary facilities, parking, et cetera, that are necessary to support that stadium. But there are, you know, the life cycle costs as well. Is there an economic longer-term benefit relative to the location of a stadium in a particular area? And those are the kinds of things that have to be assessed as well, so that, you know, those who are at the table will have, you know, it's good to have options. It's good to have choices. And a cost-benefit analysis is not, it's a detailed process, but it's not arduous, it's not unreasonable, and I think the Common Council should, in fact, insist that at least a preliminary analysis of a downtown location be taken seriously, and a cost-benefit analysis of that should occur. I think what Rasheed Wyatt is talking about is the federal highway bill. And if you look at the more densely developed downtown Buffalo and downtown areas generally, that would require additional infrastructure investment. You know, what happens with the throughway? What happens with exit points and entry points and those kinds of things? Because, you know, when you're attracting 70,000 people to a facility at one time, there are, you know, infrastructure considerations that have to take place. Synchronized signaling is something that our city should be embracing and implementing immediately. Pittsburgh has it, and it reduces commute times by 20-25% and reduces wait times at intersections by 40%. We should be doing that regardless of where the stadium goes. But I think what the council member is pointing to is the opportunities that are inherent relative to infrastructure that would support a downtown stadium.
All right. So what about the infrastructure bill that is being negotiated right now in Washington? Is there potential money in there for a new stadium?
Not for a new stadium. The federal government doesn't get involved with stadium financing, and that's why you traditionally have had the county, you know, in many cases at the lead, but the state providing a lot of the money. Most of the federal government money in the infrastructure bill will go to the states, probably, 70 to 80% of the state transportation budget traditionally. Right now, under current law, it's about $1.4 billion a year goes to the state of New York. But it comes from the federal government, but it actually comes from you because you pay a federal gasoline tax at the pump. That's typically the funding formula. So I think, you know, you could see federal gas tax finance going to the federal government that is then distributed to the states. You could see some money, not directly for a stadium, but perhaps for infrastructure to support a stadium.
Congressman, as always, appreciate the time. Thanks for being with us this morning. Congressman Brian Higgins joining us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.